The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus took Peter, James, and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell prostrate and were very much afraid. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and do not be afraid." And when the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one else but Jesus alone. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, "Do not tell the vision to anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord. So we begin the liturgy of the Word this morning with this cosmic vision from the prophet Daniel. A vision that includes the Ancient One, who we presume to be the Father, and the Son of Man, whom we presume to be Jesus, the Son of God. The Ancient One took his throne. His clothing was bright as snow. His throne was on fire with wheels of burning fire, the fire flowing out from where he sat. Thousands upon thousands were ministering to him, and myriads upon myriads attended him. Then one like a Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven, when he reached the Ancient One and was presented to him, he received dominion, glory, and kingship. All peoples, nations, and languages serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not be taken away. Well, this first reading is intentionally paired with this gospel that we have today. And we are presuming that the person in the vision in the first reading and Jesus are one and the same. So immediately we must admit that there is more to things than what we can see or even understand. When I was in the seminary, I read an article, and it stayed with me all these years. It said that upon study of the human brain, we only use about 17% of our brain. Why would God give us a brain and we only use 17%? The ones who use like 17.5% are geniuses. So every bit more that you use of your brain, it multiplies exponentially. 17%, which I have to say is what we need in our glorified body to be able to behold the glory of God and the fullness of truth. Well, Jesus reveals this glory to Peter, James, and John on the mountain today. I think many times in our lives we're content with our limitations, maybe even comfortable. We're accustomed to our limited understanding. God seems more manageable that way, more controllable. In the study of world religions, we learn that religion is kind of a system that's developed of rituals which allow mankind to keep God at a distance. So people would define God maybe in a rock or maybe in some kind of created being. They could go and see him when they wanted to, kind of like here. You can come to church and you can encounter God, but then you can go about the rest of your life, the rest of the week, and really not have to think about him too much, right? But on Mount Tabor, suddenly Jesus splits open his humanity for a glimpse of what is truly inside. He reveals that the reality is completely out of our control or expectation. God is out of our control. And then St. Peter, the poor guy, he does what's the truly human thing, right? He says, well, okay, well, let's make this all manageable. Let's put each of you in your own tent, all in neat little boxes. Then we can have it all. We can have what is familiar and traditional. We can have the law with Moses. We can have the prophets with Elijah. And we can have this new reality that we can't explain yet. We can have it all together, together. And then suddenly the voice speaks and says, this is my beloved son. Listen to him. And then all the others are gone. So as I was thinking about this week, the question for me is the purpose of religion to control what the church thinks she has figured out about God? I'm going to repeat that question. Is the purpose of religion to control what the church thinks she has figured out about God? Don't misunderstand me. I believe what the church teaches is all true. But is the purpose of religion to set limits to what we already know? So maybe that's why so many people are leaving the church. I'm not just talking about Catholicism, all of Christianity. I've had several people this week speaking with them. They express their frustration about how they wrestle with different teachings of the church, not because they disagree with something, but that there seems to be no allowance for a conversation or any possibility of further thought. Just don't think about it. It's easier, right? I remember my mom telling us when she was in high school, she went to a Catholic high school, Bishop Hogan High School in Kansas City, Missouri, and they told her to completely skip the Old Testament of the Bible because you won't understand it. Don't even read it. It's just easier not to think about it. Well, I wonder if the reason Christianity is experiencing a clergy shortage might be because in the Western world, we are not encouraged to lead creatively. The program seems to be defined. Just follow the rules. Confronted with the much greater reality of what we don't know, arguing about the little we do know of the mystery of God seems like, as they say, like rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. There is a conversation going on today about whether or not it is even possible to have a development of doctrine in the church. That means the church teachings can change over time as new things are learned or realized. Well, there must be the possibility of the doctrine, of a development of doctrine, right? Because think about what the church used to say about slavery. We don't say that anymore. Or if you look at the doctrine of discovery, which said Christianity had the right to go into all these different lands, and because these people were somehow subhuman, that we could change them. This is what happened to the native peoples of this country. But if the purpose of religion is not to be stuck in our little understandings, but to find ourselves on Mount Tabor, and I realize the invitation from Jesus was only for Peter, James, and John, but that was intentional. But if the purpose of religion is to go ever more deeply into the mystery of God, I do believe there would not be enough churches in the world to hold all the people who were seeking him. Today, you and I are here to see the blinding glory of a God we do not understand at all, yet who calls us to be friends unconditionally. So do we stay content with what little we know, or do we change? Have things become so comfortable that we don't want to change? Or even can we change? Realize that what we see and understand is only the beginning of a reality yet to be known, one that will change us. Peter, James, and John were able to leave that mountain with a secret. It's interesting. Jesus tells them not to tell anyone about what they saw until after. The information was to be released on God's time, because they would need it to lead and to talk about what they saw on the cross and experienced in his death, that it was only the appearance, that there was so much more found to be found beneath the surface. The glory seen on Mount Tabor was also there on Calvary, under the appearance of crucifixion and horror. So it's like the Eucharist, isn't it? It looks like what it looks like. It actually doesn't even look like bread, as we would say, but whatever it looks like. But we know by faith and the word of God himself that it is he, unbelievable glory in humble familiarity. So I want you today to imagine that light in your hand as you receive him at communion, at this Mass. And then I want you to imagine that light in one another as you encounter each other after Mass and throughout this week. Be open to the change that it will require inside of you, then, as you imagine that light also inside of you.